Central Time. I'm going to call the to order the meeting of the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority on Tuesday, July 20th to order. So Eric, can you make sure we have quorum? I think I see.
Yes, I believe we do, but I will. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I will call the roster. Chairman Campo, Commissioner Clunan.
Here.
Commissioner Corgi.
Here.
Commissioner Crusoe.
I'm here.
Commissioner Don Carlos.
Here.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Here.
And Commissioner Meese.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Okay, great. Great. Well, let me just start out with a few remarks. I would like to remind everyone that there's a Port Commission Community Advisory Council meeting, or PCCAC meeting this afternoon at 1 p.m. Central. This is an open meeting. You can log in sort of the same way you do this meeting. We're going to discuss several issues, including ongoing outreach activities, the community grants program, our sustainability action team, and an update on our business equity program. I'd like to give a quick update on Project 11. Our team has done a great job of moving the project forward. On July 6th, we and the Corps of Engineers negotiators agreed on PPA language covering the elements of Project 11 that the commission approved, 1A, 1B, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. Last week, the Corps Division and Headquarters approved the PPA package and notified Congress on July 19th. We are on track to sign the PPA early next week after the 7-day congressional notification period concludes. We had a breakthrough on our last remaining major PPA issue when the Corps agreed to shift $103 million from the LPP element 1B, that is 100% our responsibility, to the NED element 2, that is cost shared. That allows us to earn approximately $26 million of additional credit for our work constructing elements 1B and 2. After the PPA package is signed, we'll begin working to gain approval from the Assistant Secretary of the Army for the Corps to maintain elements 1C when it is constructed. We have told the Corps that we need to have an agreement on 1C by the end of this calendar year, and hopefully that can be accomplished. Design packages 3, 4A, Bolivar Roads to Redfish, bid advertisement was sent out on July 2nd, and a pre-proposal meeting happened on July 12th, and the bids are actually due on August 4th. So with that said, we are still shooting for starting construction by the end of this year. In another matter, since our last meeting, the Houston Pilots and the Pilot Commission approved a new rule that allows ships up to 1,120 feet long to transit the Houston Ship Channel. This rule will maintain efficient and safe transit through the channel while expanding the opportunity for the shipping industry to operate larger and more efficient ships, hopefully leading to more cargo coming into the port and allowing Houston to maintain its number one port in America position. I want to thank Captain Thompson and the Pilot Commission for their hard work and leadership on this issue. In terms of a couple of other important items, there are some federal action that we're going to talk about today. I'd like to commend Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee and Senator John Cornyn for providing their leadership in their respective chambers of Congress and being the primary sponsors of the legislation making Juneteenth a long overdue federal holiday. Juneteenth and what it represents is not only important for Texans, it's important for all Americans, and we are grateful for it
come in
having law and receiving the recognition that it's long deserved. We have an item on our agenda today for the endorsement by the commission of Juneteenth being a holiday for Port Houston as well. One sort of last item, on June 30th, Governor Abbott's office approved a request by the Office of the Attorney General to lift the suspension suspensions of certain provisions of the Open Meetings Act. The suspensions will lift at 12:01 a.m. On September 1st, 2021. So after September 1st, 2021, all provisions of the Open Meetings Act will be effective. And all Texas governmental bodies subject to open meetings must conduct their meetings in full compliance with the Open Meetings Act as written by the statute. So what that means is that starting in September, at our September 28th Port Commission meeting, it will be held in person at the Port Houston Executive Office Building. There are potentially some abilities to do some remote for some folks, but we're trying to figure out exactly what that means, and we'll let you know when we know that. I would like to, as I do in every meeting, thank the Port Houston team and the Port Houston community as large for their hard work and commitment to really improving the quality of life in our region through what they do every single day and their hard work. So I appreciate everything that our team does and all the support people around the channel. And we are about improving the quality of life for people in our region through economic development. And I do appreciate what our teams do every single day. So with that, let's go ahead and then move to unless commissioners have any other, if you'd like to make any comments before we move into approving the meetings, approving the minutes.
Rick, this is Roger. I believe we have Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee now.
Great. Congresswoman.
Good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning, Chairman Campos and Roger, and to the board members. First of all, let me thank you for the work that you do, not only for Houston and the state with this enormously important port that I have supported during my 27 years of service in the United States Congress, but its importance to the world as well. So thank you for that. And as you well know, over the years, I have provided consistent and large funding from the United States federal government. I will continue to do that and soon be announcing another contribution to the work that you do. And I hope that you all will join me on that announcement. But Chairman, I am so delighted of your recognizing the long toiling of Juneteenth, which is basically that holiday has been seeded in the state of Texas. The seeds were planted. Absolutely amazing of the bipartisan effort that Senator Cornyn and myself were able to put forward after I had been working on this for 10 years in the United States House of Representatives through a commemoration resolution, building up on the support over and over again, introducing it, and finally reaching a point of the introduction of the holiday years ago. And having it with Senator Cornyn initially rejected, not even allowed to get a vote on the Senate floor, even though we were eager to move it. And so we continued without ceasing with the broad support. Many people have heard of a 94-year-old Ms. Lee in the Fort Worth area who brought 1 million petitions to the United States Congress. But the idea that I had behind it really reflects what the port is. It is to tell the story of our state, our community, our nation to the world, and to recognize that we are a better nation, to recognize the original sin, which was slavery, a brutal time in America's history. But as I said on the floor of the House during the debate, to acknowledge my friends from Pennsylvania, who happen to be Republican and Democratic, about the role of the Union soldiers and states like Pennsylvania and others. And so Juneteenth had a national tone to it and a very emotional tone to the fact that people were liberated 2.5 years later. They were liberated by General Granger's General Order Number 3 and a bounty of Black Union soldiers. It just speaks to what America is, and that I hope that we will continue to overcome the ideas of systemic racism. But it was a unifying moment. 415 members of the United States House voted on the legislation, Republicans and Democrats together. And I think it's not the end, it's the beginning. I thank you for acknowledging it. And I guess my final point is that I think it represents an economic engine as well, because even in the immediacy of the holiday being announced in 24 hours of last month, when I was in Galveston, there were people from all over the nation who had flooded into Galveston to celebrate Juneteenth. I think it will also be an economic engine. Who knows how much support will participate in that. So thank you again for acknowledging me, and thank you for the friendship. And I look forward to announcing some additional contributions to the port in the near future.
Thank you, Congresswoman. We do really appreciate your friendship and our friendship towards you, and everything you've done to help not just Port Houston, but your congressional district and Houston as a region, Texas, and really the country. So we appreciate everything that you're doing and the hard work that you put in every single day doing that, knowing that it's not a one-time thing, it's a journey and not a destination. And hopefully the journey will improve the lives of many, many, many people. I know you have touched a lot of people, and we really appreciate that. Commissioners, any other questions or comments or you want to make at this point?
Well, Congresswoman, this is Dean Corgi. I'd just like to say nobody works hard, and you work hard for working folks in this region, and you work hard for the port, and you work hard for our city. And I just really appreciate it, all the years that we worked together, and I look forward to many more. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Congresswoman, good morning. This is Cheryl Crusoe.
Good
and
morning.
I just want to echo my fellow commissioners' statements. You've worked tireless, not only for the community at large, but we especially thank you this morning for all of your efforts for the port.
Thank you so very much. And thank you for your leadership, both of you. All of the port has members, board members, have been stellar contributors to the life and the economic engine of our community. It's a great asset. And I will say this, Chairman and board members, that when I speak of the Houston Port, and when our members speak of the Houston Port in Washington, it is well known and well respected. So we have a big stick to carry with the Army Corps of Engineers, which I'm gonna be meeting with in the next couple of weeks, because they know of the respect that the port has and its contribution to the nation. So thank you for that. Thank you for your custodial good work. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Congresswoman, Clyde Fitzgerald. I also want to thank you for all the hard work you do. And as you know, we got a lot of hard work ahead of us as we get this channel dredged to where we can maintain our port and expand our business. But thank you for everything you do. And I just like to say to you, as you know, the Longshoreman has celebrated June 19th for over 25 years as a holiday.
Outstanding.
Congressman, Steve Don Carlos, I remember our work finally and your work finally from my days at the hospital district. And I just am so pleased to be able to continue to work with you for the betterment of all of Houston and all of Harris County and all of your district. And I want you to know how much I appreciate your attention to the Port of Houston issues, just as you have in various endeavors that I've been involved in. So again, thank you for your friendship, and thank you for your assistance with us in Washington.
Likewise, this is Commissioner Montoya Clunan. There's nothing new I can say other than to echo again, thank you for everything you've done and for being a great advocate for us and everything you've done for us. So thank you.
This is Commissioner Meese. I want to thank you for your 27 years. I can remember 27 years ago when I was on the Rainbow Commission with you. You and Ruben when you were successful in your race, and you've done a wonderful job, and I really appreciate all the hard work that you have done for the Port of Houston. It is very well needed, very well appreciated.
Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Okay, I think we've heard from all of our commissioners. So any other, Roger, do you have anything else, or do you want to move on?
We can move on. Just to note that there's an item on the agenda addressing this Juneteenth holiday.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
Thank you for being here today and for everything that you do for our port. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to a big Juneteenth celebration at the Houston Port next year in 2022.
There you go.
Mr. Chairman, would it be in order to move the agenda item now?
We can do that right now. Let's go ahead and move it forward, and it's under item F1, which is to endorse the observance of Juneteenth as an annual holiday for port employees. And so do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion or comments? Okay, hearing none. Congresswoman Jackson Lee, we vote in a negative way here. So, are there any negative votes? Hearing no negative votes, the item passes. So, Juneteenth is now a formal holiday for port employees in Port Houston. So, thank you, commissioners, and once again, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, thank you so much for everything you do for us, and we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. Have a good day now. Thank you again.
God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, so let's move on to item C1 and C2. Let's do these together. Approval of minutes of the special Port Commission meeting on June 14th, 2021, and also the Port Commission public meeting on June 22nd, 2020.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any questions or comments or corrections? Hearing none, are there any negative votes? Okay, hearing none, the motions pass. Staff reports, Roger.
Yes, Chairman, Commissioners, good morning to everyone. Just kind of an update of what's going on the business side, the operations side, and other matters all of our terminals. In one word, we're busy, and that's good. It's good to be busy. As expected, June was a very good month on the container front. It's a 39% increase over last June when we were in the middle of the low point in the pandemic. If you'll recall, we were counting blank sailings at this time last year, and it certainly swung the other way, and a tremendous amount of cargo moving across our docks. We're up 13% for the year. At the midway point, we've handled 1.6 million TEU in 2021. The imports continue to pour into Houston as we seem to be reaching new record highs for gate moves and single vessel moves on ships that come in very frequently these days. Just kind of how the business is going. We had six vessels from East Asia from two different services bunched together over the last 9 days. That's a lot of cargo flowing in here all at one time. And to encourage the movement of this peak in inbound cargo and to assist our trucking community and importers, we've been offering an extended gate hour service free of charge for this week or however long we need to accommodate the free flow of cargo out of our terminal. Just kind of a highlight, Barber's Cut had a record day on July the 14th with more than 4,900 gate transactions. I can speak of records every day if we want to, but we did 52,000 gate moves last week. And for the first time ever, Barber's Cut outpaced Bayport in the loaded container gate moves in 1 week. So a tremendous amount of volume. A lot of it's being driven by this new service. It's called the EC6. There's a picture of it Kelly has put up. It's by The Alliance. It made this ship, the One Modern, made its maiden call a couple of weeks ago with nearly 5,600 vessel lifts. And then just yesterday, we busted that record again on a sister ship where they handle more than 5,600 ships. And the next containers and the next ship is going to have more than 5,800, I understand. So it's a lot of volume. We continue to make the investments to handle this continued strong increase in volume. We got to stay ahead of this demand curve. So we continue to ramp up our efforts. And just last week, we received five new rubber tire gantry cranes. There's a picture of those, which began to discharge last Thursday. And then we've got another ship on the way soon in August, I believe, with four more cranes. Just to highlight, over to your left, to the left of those cranes, kind of gives you a snapshot of the Berth 6 that we're starting to construct at Bayport. It just started last month. It's nearly a 2-month project, but again, the investments that we're making in anticipation of these larger ships and volume that we're going to continue to receive, especially when the channel gets widened. So a lot of things going on, and on top of that, the ship-to-shore cranes that we'll certainly make you all aware of when the time comes. They're supposed to show up sometime late October, early November. And that's a sight to see when those fully erected ship to shore cranes come in on a ship. So we'll certainly keep you posted on that. A lot of things going on. Business is good. General cargo is up 8% for the year across all of our multi-purpose facilities at the Turning Basin. Still, imports continue to be pretty flat, but okay. I think in July, we expect more than 300 tons combined through our facilities. And we're seeing a lot of other commodities like cement and super sacks and plywood and those other commodities come across our dock. So trending a little bit upward, and hopefully the steel imports pick up toward the end of the year. I want to highlight a couple more things. Last Thursday, what was a big event for us. We were honored with a visit from President Laurentino Cortizo from the Republic of Panama, along with the ambassador, as well as some other members of the Panama Canal Authority. And I want to thank Commissioners Fitzgerald and Corgi and Cruzo for joining in on that discussion. I think it was very important to talk with the president and highlight the significance of that relationship that we've established over the years and the positive impact that the Panama Canal expansion that happened a few years ago has had on our port. The president himself noted that Houston's very important and that 4 out of every 10 ships that go through the canal come to Houston. So it's a mutual relationship, something that's very important to them as well as us, and we will continue. We had an MOU signed recently, and we'll continue to foster that relationship together as we go forward. So, and while I'm there, I want to thank a few people. This was a big event, took a lot to put together. You know, Carrick and his team. Specifically, I know Monica Glover and Lisa Ashley and Christine and Fatima and John Mosley did a lot to pull this thing off. And if I left anybody out, I apologize. But I know these folks did a great job of putting together a really nice event. And commissioners, I thank you for being there. I think it was very important. If you want any comment on that that meeting, but I thought it was important. Lastly, something that's another important achievement, but we've recently got authorized the permit for Bayport. It gives the authority from the Corps of Engineers to continue the construction of our Bayport terminal. It's under a permit that was originally issued in 2004. This is the second time it's been renewed, but this issuance of this permit allows Port Houston to continue its master plan for construction and building out of this terminal for another 5 years. So That's very important to us, and we have to get that permitted for the authorization to continue that to be developed. So it's been a long time coming, and there's a lot of people involved. I want to point out the project manager on that was Ilana Harris. She did a very nice job, but there are many people involved from Trey Campbell's group in the environmental division, legal, you know, across the board, channel operations. Everybody had a hand in this. It's something that kind of radar, but it's something that is certainly needed as we move forward. So that's all I have, but I do want to pass along to Rich Burns. He's going to give us a quick update on some of the sustainability issues and some of the things that he's been doing and we've been doing as a port, as a leader in the environmental arena. So I'm going to turn it over to Rich, who has a short presentation for the entire commission while we're here.
Hey, Roger.
Yes, sir.
Before we go to Rich, could we touch on just a minute the meeting that you and I had over at Chambers County last week? So the commission will know Roger and I met with a bunch of Chambers County officials regarding infrastructure projects and issues that they're having over there. As you guys may or may not know, there has sprung up and a pretty incredible amount of port business in West Chambers County, primarily centered around the export through the port of plastics products from several different companies there, Exxon, Chevron, and the like. What they are attempting to do is do a lot of advanced planning, work on maybe some heavy haul road issues, and such as that. And I think they wanted basically an update from the port on what we were viewing as the future of the traffic out there. But to give you a flavor, Roger, I believe it was Exxon that said that they're putting 225 trucks every day on the road from the Exxon plant to the port for export. There's also an enormous Walmart facility out there. Floor and Decor is going to be importing items through the port. IKEA has a big logistics center there, KTN is what we call them because nobody pronounced the name of it. Has purchased, I think they're up nearly 800 acres to put ultimately 18 million square foot of logistics centers out there. So, Roger, I don't know if you wanted to mention that. They're not asking for monetary contribution from the port. I think they want to work with us to make sure that we can get an efficient flow of traffic between Barbers Cut Bayport and West Chambers County.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, tremendous amount of our cargo, whether it's import or export, as Commissioner Don Carlos highlighted, you know, it really highlights the importance of efficient movement of freight and freight mobility to and from its destination, and a very rapidly growing area that supports our business through Barbers Cut and Bayport. And we really need to get behind that, just like every other freight corridor. But that's one you mentioned. I think I can't remember the number, but they're anticipating a 50% increase in what goes to that region just next year from what their business is. And KTN, for one, Commissioner Don Carlos, you're exactly right. They have the ability to expand from 4 million square feet of distribution center now to 18 million square feet of distribution. So tremendous growth opportunity over there, and we have to be in tune with them and support the ability to get our freight all of our freight, the customer's freight, the port's freight. It all belongs to all of us, and we have to be very efficient. And we're engaged with them. We'll continue to be engaged with them in TxDOT to make those things happen. That was a big meeting.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question, please? Hello?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah. Commissioner Don Carlos, has there been much talk recently about the possibility of barging a lot of that cargo from out there to the terminals to take some of the traffic off the roads?
Yeah, that's Commissioner, that's I think a long term goal. There right now are two or three barge terminals near the industrial park out there.
Right.
I think that they're anticipating some further development and capacity near the mouth of Cedar Bayou. And I think that long-term would be a great solution. It's just a matter of how to do it efficiently.
Right.
And I think some capacity on our end for offloading at Bayport and at Barber's Cut onto barges. But yeah, I think that everything at this point is on their radar screen. There, as you probably know, there's a large steel mill out there in operation. And I know that they have been barging over as well as trucking over steel now for quite some time, rolls of steel. So, it's definitely on the table. I don't think, other than the planning stage, that there's anything, you know, on the ground or under construction right now to enable them to do it on a large scale.
Okay, good. Thank you.
That's all I had.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. And just to add quickly there, they've got authorization to improve the Cedar Bayou Navigation District. It's got the approval to make some modifications in the depth and width, I think, of the Cedar Bayou channel as well. So
yeah, and it has been funded. They've got the federal money now to do it, so that project should be underway pretty soon. They're also going to straighten out what they call Devil's Elbow, which is going to improve not only navigation out there, but it'll improve drainage on the eastern side of our city and on the western part of Chambers County. So it's kind of a win-win project, we think.
It just can't be overstated, the importance of that. What is it, 11,000 acres of property that's very just a small amount has been developed at this point. So the future of import DCs and export resin packaging or whatever is certainly on the rise over there. And we have to be a part of efficient freight mobility to and from that area over there.
Well, and the main competitive advantage it will give us is we don't want to get congested like the West Coast is. I mean, we want to try to be as ahead of the issue as we can. The Grand Parkway is being finished out there, if we can get the infrastructure worked out, then it'll be a great route to Interstate 10 around the Grand Parkway to go north. It'll be a good addition, I think, to the port.
Thank you, sir. Chairman, can we move forward to
go ahead with Rich.
Go ahead, Rich. Rich, are you there?
We put him to sleep.
I am here. I just had to reshare the screen, so hopefully you can see that. And I will put that into full mode. So good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, Roger, and other guests. I'm going to give you, I guess, a trailer for the movie that will be shown at the PCCAC meeting later this afternoon. Basically, the highlights of what we've been doing in terms of the sustainability action team. and why we're looking at sustainability this year. So no further ado, let me just move on. Why sustainability? It's a corporate imperative that you all have provided to us as a corporate goal this year. It's aligned to our vision, mission, and strategic goals that you can see on the right side of the screen. Our framework for the strategic plan, moving into the 2040 plan, and then moving out into actions and initiatives. So we had two things in mind for this year. The first is to publish a sustainability report. And I'll just say for everybody's reference, sustainability is, we frame it up as ESSNG, meaning environmental, social, safety, and governance. So it's not just one of those elements, it's all of those. And then we launched the sustainability action team to answer the question, what else can the port do? And as you all know, because we've done some briefings on community and we've done some briefings on environmental, that the port is doing quite a bit. There's a lot of initiatives going on, but as an environmental leader, for example, what else can we do is the key question. So in April, we presented this project plan to you, and it required some preparation, which the team did. I think Roger mentioned Trey Campbell and Maria Geary and others who have been part of this team. We ran some workshops in June and July to engage stakeholders, and I'll say a little bit more about that in a second. And then we promised to come to this Port Commission meeting to give you sort of a short list project for your review and consideration. No decisions are expected today. There's no request for commission action, but we do want to give a quick overview of what we've come up with. After that, we will incorporate our planning into the budget cycle. And we also have that dotted line at the bottom of the screen is really, start when ready. So we're not going to wait until November if we can start some things now or last quarter. And as you'll see a little bit today and then more this afternoon, there are a number of initiatives that are already underway. I do want to give a quick shout out to the participants, because the workshops wouldn't have happened without, dozens and dozens of community, industry, and special advisor participants. So I won't read this this page, but it does have a few Air Alliance, Houston Citizens Environmental Coalition. I think they are planning to make some comments today, but we also had our industry partners from the beneficial cargo owners to the carriers, to all of the petrochemical industry. And then we had the likes of HGAC. We actually had some peer ports who are focused on sustainability, including Antwerp and Vancouver, and ION Houston, the innovation incubator downtown. We had a special advisory board that we invited into our sort of our last round of workshops to really validate what we have come up with. And so it's just worth noting, this is a very esteemed group. It included Judge Emmett, who is now a professor in the practice at Rice University. It included James Caldwell, the founder of the Coalition of Community Organizations, as well as industry. Kirby and Dow executives were there. Rachel Powers from the Citizens Environmental Coalition. And you can see the names, but we wanted to have a conversation with people who have a very circumspect point of view on the port and its importance. And maybe not so much one issue candidates, but people who really see the port in the overall ecosystem of the economy and the community. And they gave us some good validation. Obviously, the Port Commission, thank you, Chairman Campo. Chairman Campo kicked off all of the round one workshops, all three of them, to put this in perspective and to tell our stakeholders how important this is to the port. And then the list of staff, a very diverse group from our environmental and community and other groups. So the bottom line is, three rounds, 140 stakeholders invited, about half participated. We got the outputs validated per se, and what that says is the priority areas on the left side of the slide really came out in the comments and the interactive polling and the discussions we had were around clean energy and air quality, community strengthening, the circular economy, which is code for plastics recycling, and then also transparency and reporting. So those were kind of the priority areas. The action imperatives were very interesting. We asked them, do you want local impact or should we be focusing on global climate change and global impact? And it was very much, you know, closer to home is more important. But when we asked them when the time frame for these benefits should come in, it was a little bit even in terms of we want things tomorrow versus we want things in a few years versus we're focused on the energy transition and the strategic changes that are going to happen over decades. Collaboration, it was recognized that the port cannot do everything. So collaboration and partnership was critical, was a major theme. They do want, stakeholders do want projects that are measurable and, you know, have smart goals per se. And then they also wanted us to be very aligned with the region. So what the city and the county are doing, as well as industry and so forth. The action plan, which I'll share in a second, had 27 initiatives. We asked another question, which was what of these initiatives should the port be leading versus partnering with others or versus supporting from the side? And you can see the breakdown there, 8, 10, and 9. And then the engagement model for things that we lead, either we're going to have to put a business case to justify the investment, such as partners would have to do. For partnerships, it'll be a call for projects. We're asking the partners what they want to do. And I will say there are a lot of conversations going on right now around specific partnership opportunities. These things take time. And so I'm not ready to sort of share the results. We don't have deals done yet, but there's a lot of conversations going on right now. And we'll get a little bit more detail in the PCCAC meeting. So there's no request for commission action today. This list kind of lays out the 27 initiatives along the dimensions of what we can lead, what we can partner, and what we can support. I won't go through this in too much detail, but just to say it aligns to the important themes that we heard from stakeholders around clean energy, air quality, and so forth. I will say that a lot of the suggestions that we got in stakeholder forums were for things that the port is already doing. So when I put a list like this together, this is a list of what else the port can do. So we got asked about, can you repower trucks and can you do things like clean up the environment and so forth? And of course we can. There's a long list of initiatives that are already going on. So this was trying to focus on the question, what else can the port do? And just to put that into perspective, this is a very busy slide, but it really brings home the idea that none of this is going to be easy. It's going to take some years for some of these initiatives. Some can be done this year. I think we've got some good news on the horizon about some of the initiatives that you might see at the sort of the northwest corner of this chart. And the chart basically says on the x-axis, how easy is it to do? And on the y-axis, what's the impact of the initiative? And you can clearly see that there's a trade-off. Things that are easy may not have as much impact. Things that are hard may have longer term impact over decades. So there's no single silver bullet that's going to solve all of the world's problems. And in addition, different stakeholders wanted different impacts. So some who were focused on air quality, obviously will say sustainability means reducing emissions. Others who are focused on the community will say sustainability means jobs creation, or it means healthy communities, and so forth. The good news is that there is a lot of energy, a lot of alignment. We got thumbs up from our validation board. We got thumbs up from rounds 1 and 2 that we're on the right track. As I said, there's several partnership discussions going on right now. And there is some low-hanging fruit on the horizon. we really can't to say, you know, what the outputs of those projects are, but we think it within a matter of weeks or months, we will have a couple of very interesting projects with some serious money behind them to impact both the community and emissions and so forth. So with that, I'll pause for questions, and then we have more time in the afternoon.
Commissioners, do you have any questions, or you want to comment on Rich's presentation? Okay, and we will be talking more about this, obviously, in the at the PCCAC meeting later. Okay, so we are now past staff reports. We have item E, one, our public comments. And we have our first speaker up is Juan Flores of the Air Alliance Houston. So, Mr. Flores, there you are.
Good morning to everybody.
Morning.
I appreciate you letting me speak here at the meeting. I am a resident of here of Galena Park, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about the incidents that we had happening in Galena Park last week. It went into the weekend. You guys are familiar with it or not familiar with it. There was an emissions leak that happened over at Lyondell that was affecting Galena Park in Jacinto City. And it was a very bad leak. And I know Lyondell Bacel was saying that it was not a dangerous situation, but the smells that we were getting were very, very intense. Smell very, very bad. And even though they said it wasn't dangerous, you know, people were getting sick. I mean, I was out there trying to figure out where the leak was coming from because it was so intense. I mean, I live near the dredge site where you guys have over here on 16th Street near the MacArthur Elementary. Even way out here, it was such a strong, strong smell. And even though it wasn't dangerous, I mean, people were throwing up, getting headaches. I personally got overexposed to it, and my throat was like really hurting for 2 days, and I was drinking a lot more water, and it was just something that was very, very bad. I mean, it started on a Wednesday afternoon and it went all the way through Sunday morning, so it was like almost 4 days of just constant smelling like a garlic cycle, you know, order. And I do understand that you know, this wasn't a port, you know, the port didn't do it. It was Lyondell Bacel, but it was on the port area where this happened. I know for me, I was getting so desperate trying to figure out where it was coming from. You know, I could only drive up to Clinton, you know, right there by Texmark, or drive down Main Street to try to figure out where it was coming from, but we couldn't figure it out. Harris County Pollution Control couldn't figure it out for a couple of days. You know, all we could do was look towards the port area because we know it was coming from that area. And you know, I really would like to see if we could work together, try to, you know, because I know this was just one incident and there's already pollution coming out from other port related activities along with all the companies on the port. So it's like a, you know, we're all in this together, you know, the port, the companies, the community, we're all trying to, you know, coexist with each other. And I know, you know, it's something I would like to see if we could try to work through something. I mean, I don't know, working on a better alert system, trying to figure out how to get access, because most people just look in that general direction and they see the boats and they see the industry and it's like, well, is it Lyondell Bacel? Is it coming from a ship on the, you know, is it know where it's coming from? And we can't really look, you know, beyond Clinton, looking in that direction to find out what's coming from there and where it's coming from. So, you know, I know, you know, HPCC has been pushing for better clean air strategy and clearly states I'm trying to, you know, work on those issues. And I do, you know, want to ask the port if there's something we can do to work together to try to, you know, help out, you know, our communities, you know, Galena Park, Pasadena, we're all out here trying to make it and trying to coincide with each other. So
yeah.
I just want to bring that to your attention and see if there's anything we can do in the future to try to improve our quality of life out here on the, yeah, you know, living together on the port area.
Mr. Flores, your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you.
We definitely appreciate your comments. you know, part of the sustainability group that we put together, there are a lot of projects, including air monitoring and managing and bringing industry together. You know, I think that we have a tipping point. I think Rich said this yesterday during my briefing. And the tipping point that we have today is that industry is being pushed, forced, whatever you want to call it, by their shareholders to really be more responsive on ESG issues. And yes, you know, you have both the E, right, the environmental aspect of this, and you have the S, which is the social aspect, because the social aspect is how does the E affect the S, right? And I think we are at a tipping point where industry does want to help, and they want to move the ball forward, and it's just going to take time for us to marshal those resources to try to get, you know, things improved, like what you're talking about, because it is absolutely unacceptable for that kind of thing to happen, in my opinion, and we just need to work harder to try to figure out how to either monitor it better or have better communication and move the ball forward on this. So thank you for your comments. Any other comments, commissioners?
Yeah, just a quick question. Don't we have some kind of alert system, or do we need to work with our customers to try to get a better alert system? I know at least in our area here on the east, the far east end, Exxon's pretty good about putting out alerts and everything if they have an issue, but I'm wondering if that's kind of a maybe a gap in our communications somehow.
Sounds to me like it's a gap. You know, if residents are trying to figure out what's going on and what they need to do, it seems to me that this ought to be part of the area where we support and maybe even lead in trying to get more information out to people.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, perhaps we need to engage with ECMA or somebody to do a better job, because that there should be some kind of a way to communicate with at least the local governments out there, so they can get the word out to their folks on what's going on and get a better response than this.
Absolutely.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could say, you know, I used to work on tugboats on the Ship Channel, and that was a long time ago, and I experienced the same thing that Mr. Flores is referencing. You go through there and you can smell these, and you don't know where they're coming from, but you know it's bad. And I don't know if there's anything we can do, but I would really like to see us try to do something, because it is bad. And I've smelled that smell that he's talking about before, and you get a headache and you feel, I mean, I don't know what can be done, but I would certainly support us at least looking into it and try to work with TCEQ or whoever to make sure that those toxic fumes are not released, because you know, I think it's in everybody's best interest. So I don't know, but I would be willing to participate in whatever I could do to help out, and if there's anything that we can do, but I think it's something we ought to take a look at.
Well, I think it's definitely part of our sustainability group, and I know that there were discussions in those meetings about information flow, monitoring, and how do you communicate effectively. And that is pretty low hanging fruit, I would think, in terms of being able to try to make an impact on. But I agree, we need to focus on that. Any other commissioners? Okay, our next speaker is Stephanie Thomas from Public Citizens. So Stephanie, where are you?
Hey, good morning. Can you all hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Sorry, my video is not working today.
No worries.
I just want to say thank you all so much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. And I have a couple things I want to say just really quickly. I want to congratulate Roger Gunther for being appointed to the Gulf Coast Protection District. I know something that our communities are very concerned about is the impact of flooding. So I know that work will be very important for all of us in the Houston Ship Channel area. And then second, I want to say thank you for inviting me and many of my other colleagues to be part of the Sustainability Action Team workshops. Really appreciated the opportunity to participate. Some of the things that I just want to share really quickly, you know, thank you, Rich, for giving that overview. We are certainly, or I'm certainly of the perspective that aggressive emission reduction targets should be part of this. Of course, you know, measurable impacts are something that I think we all want to see. And you know, recognizing and measuring the environmental justice impacts, you know, similar to what Mr. Flores just shared, the communities along the Ship Channel are dealing with a number of different impacts, and having the sustainability action team recognize those impacts, I think, would go a long way. We'd also like to see, you know, updating of unreliable equipment and investing in cleaner, more reliable infrastructure, vehicles, et cetera, and of course, mitigating emissions from Project 11. So thank you all so much for your time today. Really appreciate the opportunity to engage on sustainability.
Thanks for your comments. And I do appreciate you acknowledging Roger's position. In another thing for him to do to you know, push our region forward in a hopefully less flooding area way. A big task, given that the commission doesn't have a revenue source yet, but I'm sure Roger's thinking about where to get the money to fund all these projects. Any other commissioner comments? Okay, so let's then move on to our meat of our agenda. Did I hear somebody who wanted to speak? Okay, all right, we've already hit item F1, so let's go to commercial. So Tom, I'm gonna give you the platform for commercial and G.
All right, thank you, Chairman, and hello, commissioners. We'll gladly see you in September. G, under commercial, I'd like to talk about G1. This is our sponsorship of the Breakbulk event here in Houston, which will be held September 28th through the 30th. This is the largest conference for Breakbulk and Project Cargo. We have been the host for a number of years now, and it's a very good economic impact for the city of Houston and the surrounding area, just under $2 million. So with that, I'd ask the commission to approve items G1 through G3.
Commissioners, a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, here a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none. Are there any negative votes? Okay, so hearing no negative votes, items G1 through 3 pass. H, finance.
Under finance, we have H1, which is to appoint the financial and legal teams for the upcoming revenue bond issuance for Project 11, and also to authorize the preparation of all documentation authorizing the issuance. The financial team is going to be led by Siebert Williams Shank and Company as the senior manager, and the legal team will have Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe as bond counsel, with Weston Associates as co-bond counsel, and Bracewell as disclosure counsel, with Hardwick Law Firm as the co-disclosure counsel. H2 is to authorize the negotiation of a renewal or a new flexible rate revolving note program. As you're aware, we have a $100 million agreement with Regions that once we do this P11 revenue bond, it's going to change the status in terms of the lien status from senior to level 3. So we have to renegotiate with the Regions, but we're also reaching out to other entities to see if we can also get some bids from them. This will also approve the engagement of Masterson Advisors as the financial advisor for the program, and also to approve reimbursements of upfront costs for the program and engaging 2 credit rating agencies, as we must do for this piece of this program. H3 and 4 are similar. One is for our OPEB, the other post-employment benefits, and then the defined benefits pension plan. We are requesting, and this was approved by the Pension and Benefits Committee last week, is to change the target asset allocation, where we will be decreasing the fixed income category by 5% and adding a new category of bank loans at that same 5%. And then H5 is to approve a new investment manager to handle those bank loan investments, Pacific Life funds. So I ask the commission to approve items H1 through H5.
We have a motion, commissioners.
So moved.
Question.
Let's get to the second first.
Okay.
Second.
Second.
Okay, great. Okay, now we have motion and second. Questions? Go ahead, Commissioner.
Yes. On item H1, and I support all this. I think this is, we're going in the right direction. But my question would be, as far as this references revenue bonds, could this, I mean, it looks like we're setting up the infrastructure to move the bonds forward to me. And would we have to go revenue bonds as a final avenue, or could we replace that with general obligation bonds if that was something that we chose to do? Or is this going to tie us into revenue bonds?
No. The bottom line on this is that this just positions us to be able to do revenue bonds when we want to. And ultimately, the commission will have to approve revenue bonds or any other bonds ultimately. Clearly, the general obligation bonds require a lot more movement, because you have to have a vote to approve them by taxpayers. And so clearly that would be a much longer lead time item to do, but this just positions us to do revenue bonds if we decide to do them. It's teeing it up so that we can decide in the future to do them whether we want or not, but it doesn't commit us.
So it could be either or?
Yeah, they're two different paths, right? Yep. So this path is for revenue bonds. And another, if we wanted to go general obligation bonds, we would have to go down a totally separate path, which would include involving the county and involving other law firms and other bond councils and other managers to do GO bonds. So it's a totally separate track with separate councils and separate lead entities. So what this does is allow us to do bonds if we decide to do bonds on a much faster track. So the commission has another bite of this apple. It's not committing us to do anything other than hiring these people to go forward. That's all.
Thank you. I'm good with you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask a question also. Do we have any idea when the time will come where we have to go forward with the bonds?
Well, I think that the team has looked at lots of different scenarios. And if you think about what's happening in the stock market and the bond market today, you know, the 10-year treasury has gone from 1.7% to 1.2% in the last, you know, 30 days or 45 days. And so I think that pulling the trigger on these bonds will be a function of what the market looks like between now and sort of the end of the year. And we'll just have to have a broad discussion about that at our next meeting. But I think it's really just a function of when we need the money and what the bond market looks like. But I would tell you that from a financing perspective, I don't think anybody, at least in my business career, I've never seen a stronger bond market than we have right now. And if you could lock in 10-year money at a spread over, or 30-year money, whatever we're gonna do, at a spread that over the current rates, it's a big green light to go into the bond market as fast as you can. But now that may change in September, but we're not, I think this positions us to do bonds if we decide to sometime this fall, if we decide to go this direction. But I think it's whether we go or not depends on the bond market, how much, you know, where we need cash flow to be, and we'll be able to decide that, you know, in September or October or next couple of meetings.
Yeah, well, I just want to join Dean and say that I hope we keep our options open.
Always keep your options open.
Yeah, because I can just tell you this. Roger made a, if I can just take a minute, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Roger made a a report earlier about how we're getting flooded with business. And I personally think it's going to continue to grow. And I think we're going to have to look at our long-term plan. I'm not too sure that in the next 5 to 10 years that we have enough terminals to handle the cargo that's going to come. And I know that we're excited about the fact that we can fund our widening of this channel on our own. But let me just say that after that, we got to make sure we don't tie our hands. And going forward, we're going to need revenue to make this port what it can be. And I'm just glad that we're not tying our hands. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And I would follow up with that statement that, you know, I think Commissioner Don Carlos illustrated the concern. I had no idea. With 18 million square feet of warehouse space of Chambers County. I mean, they're not building that to be empty. They're building it to fill it up. And that's going to be a tremendous amount of cargo coming across our docks. And I think Clyde's absolutely right. We've got to keep an eye on the prize here and make sure we've got the financial muscle to handle all this cargo. So, you know, but I support everything we're doing. I think it's good. I think we're moving in the right direction.
I agree totally. I also think that spending all of our revenue at this point in time to build that thing and then run into a problem, where would we go? It's a lot easier to push the bonds, in my opinion, or get those revenue bonds to widen it than it is to enlarge or build chamber. So we need to stay financially very sound. If it means taking bonds to keep us in that position, then I'm all for it.
Okay.
Going in the right direction.
I agree. I think the staff, our team has done a great job positioning us to have lots of options so that the commission can choose those options as we go forward. And when we do when we do get to a point where we have to either get on or get off on these revenue bonds or any other source of financing, the staff will put forth our projection of cash flow over the next few years, and we'll be able to look at those models and see where we might be 5 years, 10 years down the road when we need to potentially add another berth or more ship to shore cranes or whatever. So I agree with everything that's been said. And always keep your options open and try to get the lowest cost of capital possible so that we can, you know, be good stewards of the public trust and the public funds. Any other questions or comments, commissioners?
Chairman, if there are no other questions, I just wanted the record to reflect that I want to recuse myself from voting on item H1, as there's a partner at Siebert, Williams & Schenck who is a client of our firm.
Okay, great. All right, so we have a motion and second, and we are, Commissioner Crusoe is going to abstain from H1. Are there any negative votes? Okay, hearing none, items H1 through H5 pass with Commissioner Crusoe not voting on item H1. Okay, Tom, let's go to infrastructure.
Okay, under infrastructure, I1 is for a 2-year contract to SLR International. This is for the monitoring and maintenance of our Bayport sound monitoring system. This is a way that we can maintain the records of what's going on out in the Bayport area. I3 is to amend the professional services contract with AECOM to design, repair, and rehabilitation necessary for wharfs 20, 21, 24, 25, and 26. Wharfs 20 and a portion of 21 were built back in the late 50s. And we have some structural issues that we will be dealing with after this design. We had AECOM do a deep assessment of the wharves, and they came up with different repair options that our engineering department has reviewed and selected. And that's what this design will be. We'll be coming back later with the construction side of it, which could be as much as $15 to $17 million. And finally, I6 is to enter into an MOU and a temporary license with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for placement of dredged material from our Bayport berth that was approved last month by the commission to go forward with this dredging. This is the tipping fees we have to pay to put the dredged material into the placement areas. Therefore, I ask the commission to approve items I-1 through I-8.
Motion.
Second.
Okay, any questions or comments?
I have a question. Again, yes, I want to point out, Mike, on number 2, we got a $200,000 bid, and those people are going to go through exactly the same efforts that somebody's going to go through for a $10 million program. I've been told that we were going to try to change those. I do know that we're addressing it, but we need to get that done. We shouldn't be holding. I guarantee you that fence probably could be done a lot cheaper than $210,000 if they didn't have to go through all the nonsense that they go through our bidding process. We shouldn't put the same requirement on a $200,000 bid as we put on a $10 million. It just don't even make sense to me. I know we've been trying to address it, but we never get around to addressing it. It needs to get addressed. I think it would save the port a lot of money and get more bidders. Well, that's all I got to say. I'm going to support it, but I'm just pointing it out that it's not really it's just two separate things here, and we need to address them as separate things. With that, I approve the motions.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, hearing none. Are there any negative votes for items I-1 through 8? Items 1 through 8 pass.
Chairman, before we proceed, I just wanted to know, we were having some connectivity issues, and Commissioner Montoya Clunin was also recused on H1 and H2 previously.
Okay.
I just want to note that for the record.
Yeah, actually, I saw that in my notes before, but okay, great. So we were recused.
Yeah, that's fine. Some of us were having connection issues. So.
Okay.
Can you hear me now by chance?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I don't know what was happening. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, we'll make sure we know that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go.
Okay, so operations, J1 is to award a contract to Southland Printing for the purchase of 50 million gate interchange cards. This is the follow-up for the item that was on last month, where we had to do an emergency purchase order, and we went out and bid these out. So this will give us about 5 years worth of stock, which is, if we don't have these interchange cards, we do not run the container terminal. So they're very important pieces. J2 is the award of 2-year contract to Southern Tire Mart for the purchase of tires for trucks, passenger vehicles, and yard tractors. And J8 is the purchase of a fire rescue hazmat truck from Sidon Martin Emergency Group. We move quite a bit of hazmat, hazardous material out at the container terminals. So our fire department is trained hazmat, and these trucks are very important and used on a daily basis. I ask the commission to approve items J1 through J9.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
Only on those tickets, Tom. You say that's a 4-year supply or 5 years. Is there any chance that the gates get changed in that 5-year period that would make those cards not operative?
Yeah, we are trying to get this to be electronic, if you will, do it on people's phones. We've tested it out. It's going to be a hard sell to some of the truckers, but that is our ultimate goal, is to get away from these cards and go electronic.
So you think the time limit on that's probably 5 years?
Unsure, but this is the we believe we need to have these cards in reserve and just in case.
What can you do with them if you change the system in 2 years? What happens to what's left over, 350,000 cards? What happens to the 1 million? Were they still going to be usable or not usable?
I don't know. Is somebody that's more familiar with the contract? I don't know if we can not purchase all of them. You know, we don't get $50 million at one time. We get deliveries throughout the year. So, is Jeff on the phone? I don't know. I can't answer that question. I will find out and let you know.
It makes sense if we can do it by increments that we would be able to cancel the contract if, in fact, we change the gates on some kind of notice or something.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we ought to check into it.
I'll look into it and let you know.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Commissioner? Okay, hearing none, are there any negative votes for items J1 through 9? Okay, hearing none, the items pass. People?
Under People, K1 is to approve a professional services contract with IMC Culture to perform a diversity, equity, and inclusion assessment and assist staff in developing a DEI plan in alignment with our strategic plan. This will give us a baseline of where we are today and then help us set the priorities and what the next steps to take this to into our strategic plan. K2 is to approve a multi-year program for funding for development and improvement of parks and green spaces on in East Harris County. This amount, the authority is asking not only for the award of the $1 million, but also to give the Community Relations Committee the oversight process and approval of specific projects, similar to what we did last month when the commission gave the Community Relations Committee authority to approve the grant program. So I ask the commission to approve items K1 and K2.
Motion.
Yes, and a second.
It's my understanding, if I'm correct, is that the oversight of this will be done like a grant program from the different cities. Is that right, Roger, basically?
Yeah, Roger's.
I'm back now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I connected on my phone, but what was the question, Commissioner?
Is this going to be handled like the grant program that we do for community grants?
Yes, by our staff. You know, very similar to the separate from grants program.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, this way we just don't have to bring this back to the commission. Once the Community Relations Committee approves the grant process that staff will bring in, then it doesn't have to come back to the full commission, given that the Community Relations is really a committee of the whole anyway. So it's just trying to streamline the process.
Did you ever get a second?
Questions?
Yeah, that's fine.
Did okay. We ever get a second?
We did, I think.
I will if we didn't.
Okay. All right. So we have a second. Any other comments or questions?
Just a quick comment. In light of the, I guess, the tie-in between what I think was intended between the $1 million on this program and the $1 million over the Houston Parks program, since it's a four-year commitment, I would ask that the administration make this basically a four-year program at max also. In other words, I don't want to drag this out for 10 years, $1 million over 10 years. I would rather it be dispensed to the communities over at max the same four-year period that we're making a commitment to the city of Houston.
I would hope it's quicker than 4 years.
Yeah, me too. I think there'll be plenty of applications.
Yeah, and the problem is can it be done quicker than four if in fact we come to those agreements?
Yeah, commit. I can see this happening quicker than 4 years, but that can be the outside, but I don't see why we couldn't do this in less than 4 years.
Good. Thank you.
And I think that the Community Relations Committee, you know, has full purview over this million. So, you know, Commissioner Corgi runs a tight ship over there, I know, and he's going to get this money out quick.
Roger on that, Captain.
There you go. Okay, are there any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, are there any negative votes for item K1 and 2? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, so we don't have anything on port security, but we have technology, so Tom?
Yes, under technology, all six items are for either software or hardware maintenance and support services. So M1 is our Cognos, which is our budgeting software. That's an annual service. M2 is a software called Manage Engine. This is our IT service desk ticketing system, as well as our IT inventory system. M3 is an annual for our firewalls with Palo Alto. Obviously, the firewall is very important in our cybersecurity world, and we need to stay up on the most recent items that they have. M4 is data storage from NetApps. This is the data storage at our terminals, as well as our offsite system. That's also a 1 year. The next one is a 5-year program, and this goes back to what we talked about a few months ago with cybersecurity. This is the software that helps us monitor the location of all of our laptops and tablets, and also the ability to wipe them clean if we need to, if we cannot find the actual lost item. And then finally, M6 is our Mimecast email security and retrieval system. Very important for us in terms of maintaining the security of the email system, but also when we get open records requests or legal has other issues for the need to retrieve emails. This is a much easier system than the old days. So I ask the commission to approve items M1 through M6.
Motion.
Okay, motion and second. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, are there any negative votes for our items M1 through M6? Okay, hearing none, items pass. We are now going to recess into executive session. So, Eric, do you need to-
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? I can, yes.
Okay, yeah, we were having connectivity issues. It is now 10:37 a.m. The Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas will convene in a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding City of Richmond versus Croson, Adiran versus Pena, and Texas Government Code 2254 regarding professional consulting services, and proposed agreements or amendments to agreements for legal services with the AZA Law Firm, Bracewell Law Firm, Arc Law Firm, Weston Associates Law Firm, and Hardwick Law Firms. Deliberate regarding real estate, including deliberations regarding disposition of our Scott Bay submerged lands and Barber's Cut Terminal and Beltway vicinity properties, economic development negotiations or incentives, and employment and evaluation of public employees and security-related matters. Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Call the meeting to order again of the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority at, what's it, 11:19. So we are now in regular session. So, Eric, why don't you read the motion that we need that, go ahead.
Okay, I understand that Commissioner Clunan will move to authorize the Port Authority to amend the agreements for legal services with the AZA Law Firm and Bracewell Law Firm on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the Chief Legal Officer to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Correct, I make that motion.
So, second.
Okay, motion and second, any questions or comments? Hearing none, are there any negative votes? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, so I think that's the end of our agenda today. I would like to remind everyone again that we are having the Port Commission Community Advisory Council meeting that starts at 1 p.m. It is an open meeting, so if you wanna join that, please join us at 1 p.m. Central Time today. Our next formal Port Commission meeting is on September 29th. We're going to give everyone the month of August off to do their vacations and get ready to do an in-person meeting on in September when we when the Open Meetings Act gets back into flow. It'll be interesting, I think, that to see how this all goes, obviously, since we haven't had an in-person meeting for, what, a year and 3 months or something, or 2 months. And so I think we will have, I like the idea of access, that people get access and don't have to come to our meetings, so we're to the specific in-person meeting. So at least the public side of the equation. So we'll likely have some version of the virtual meeting in conjunction with an in-person meeting, so that we can make sure we comply with the law as we should. So with that, I appreciate all of your time today, and we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Commissioners, any other questions or comments that you want, parting remarks?
Yes, I'd like to say I have a doctor's appointment at 1:30 downtown Houston, and will not be able to attend the 1 o'clock meeting. I tried to change it, but they wanted to give it to me in September. So I thought, well, I'll go ahead and take it now, get it over with.
I agree with that.
Okay. And I have a flight catch this afternoon. I can't make the meeting either.
Okay.
I want to be there, but I forgot business. I got to go out of town.
That's okay. Hopefully it's fun.
I hope so too.
Sounds like business.
Yeah.
Business.
Business can be fun, hopefully.
Yeah.
Any other comments, commissioners? Okay.
Have a safe
motion for adjournment. Okay.
I would like to make one last comment. I wanted to make it earlier, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
We were talking about the grant program, and I really like that process. I think we've done a really good job with putting that together, and I commend the staff. I mean, that's a great system, and it's working, and I'm glad we're going to be using it for other items. So I just wanted to interject that. I think it's a real positive thing that we've done, and look forward to continuing to use it. That's all.
All right. Any other commissioners? Okay, well, we'll speak to you, those of you who are going to be on the call at 1 p.m. And those who aren't, we'll miss you, but have a great day. Thanks. We are adjourned.